Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bert. I'm the lead pastor at True North Community Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm going to have a little something to say to you at the end, but for now, let's dive in.
All right. Good morning. Okay, that's good. I love this service because you're actually awake. That's good. Great to be here. A lot of you I've met before, you'll have heard me speak here before, and it's always a privilege and joy to be here and share. This is a terrific church, and I love Bert and the guys. I've known them for years. So great to be here with you. I actually had a bit of a trial getting here. I woke up this morning with pain in my lower back that I never get. So if there is a chiropractor in the house, we're going to take a 5-minute break. We're good. It'll go. And then I stopped by our church, and then as I was coming from 101 onto Sunrise Highway, I guess with a puddle there, I didn't see there was a huge pothole, and I hit it, and it knocked out two of my tires. So it's like really good. One of the guys said before we started today, he said, I guess God's got some good stuff he wants us to hear today. So I don't know about that. God did write some good stuff, so we just pray I get it out right, yeah? So that's good. One thing I like to clarify, it really was my introduction there, because sometimes when folks hear me for the first time, they don't focus on what I say. They focus on how I'm saying it, and they kind of trying to work out what's his accent. So let's get that one out of the way so you can focus on what I say. I was born in England. I grew up in England. I pastored in England for several years. And then we moved to Scotland. Then I pastored in Scotland for 15 years. And then in 1991, we moved to Long Island. In the year 2000, I became a U.S. citizen, and I had to take the Pledge of Allegiance in the courthouse in Brooklyn. So actually, when people say, what's your accent? I say, I come from Brooklyn. That really messes with them. So it's good to be here. Growing up in the southwest of England, I was one of five siblings. My mother and father got married just before World War II, and my brother was born. Then my father went off into he was with the Royal Air Force and was away from home right through the period of World War II. And then when he came back, I guess they made up for lost time and they had four kids in 5 years. And so there were four of us who were under 5 years of age. And one of those was disabled. My sister had Down syndrome. And she was kind of, I came fourth in the order of children. She was older than me. They say the fourth child, I guess, you know, if you've got three kids, like, yeah, da, da. By the time the fourth comes along, it's like, yeah, there's another one. So it's like, throw them a bottle and let them get on with it. So they say the fourth child, like, doesn't get noticed, so it's got to make sure they are noticed. So they tend to be loud and a comedian. So that never worked out in me. I proved that one wrong. But I was the fourth in the order. My sister, who was older than me, was kind of the center of our family because she was, not only did she have Down syndrome, but she had a number of other issues, physically, medical issues, and we're talking about a long time ago, and some of those they weren't able to treat as well as they might be able to nowadays. She had some serious heart problems, and when she was about 20 years of age, she was very sick, and the doctor said, we can't do much more for her. I began to pray. I was a teenager. I was the only Christian in our household. I started to pray, and I'm asking God to heal her, because I'd got it worked out, you see. If God healed her, my family would see the miracle. They'd all come to put their faith in Jesus, and everything would be good. How many of you know that God doesn't necessarily work along the same lines as we anticipate or tell him he should? Right? And he didn't. My sister passed. And at that stage, because she'd been the center of the family, really. So at that stage, you know, for days, I was kind of, I was almost like just in a fog. And the question was like, God, what's up here? Where are you? Why didn't you come? Why didn't you help us? Why did you let us down? God, where are you? And the chances are that in a group this size this morning, there's probably several people who right now where life is at are thinking, God, you know, where are you? Why aren't you showing up? Why aren't you helping me? Heck, the psalmist even got into that position himself in Psalm 13 and verse 1. He's asking these questions. He says, how long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? And it might well be that this Sunday morning there are some of you here today, and that's right how you're feeling. God, what's wrong here? What's happening here? Things aren't the way I thought they were going to be. I can't feel you. I can't hear you. I can't sense you. It's like, where is God? And what I want to do this morning is I want to give three very simple biblical answers to that question, where is God? Okay? And the first one is this. When we ask the question, where is God, we must never forget the fact that God is with us. God is with us. You see, the danger we make so often is we draw judgment from our feelings. And our feelings are fickle, aren't they? Okay, you got to work with me. I know I'm not the regular preacher here, but our folks know that if I ask a question, I actually don't know the answer. So, all right, so our feelings are fickle, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to be good. Thank you very much. We're good. But they are. You know, it's like I woke up this morning, and when I woke up today, I got into the bathroom and I could hear the rain pouring off the gutters outside. And immediately it was like, yuck. And then I went downstairs to let the dog out, and then I see the rain and the gloom, and I think, double yuck. And then I'm thinking, it's Sunday. And so many of God's people are afraid they'll shrink if they get wet by coming to church. You're the brave. And it's like, really? And yet, on a, you know, a morning or a Sunday morning when I wake up and the sun's trying to fight its way through the curtains, and you know what? I open everything up and the sun's shining and the sky's blue. It's like, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in this one. But it can, even like the weather can affect our feelings. And one of the things we've got to really constantly rein ourselves in on is this. We've got to focus our hearts on the truth of what God says, not on the shifting feelings that run through our minds. And when we ask the question, where is God? The fact is that for every one of us who's committed our lives to Him, God is with us. Feel Him, not feel Him. Realize it, not realize it. God is with us. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, the angel is talking to Joseph about the coming birth of Jesus, and he quotes the prophet Isaiah, and he says this, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. The coming of Jesus introduced something that was radically different. It was God with us. Because in the Old Testament, God was very distant. In fact, there was a time in the life of Moses when Moses said to God, he said, you know, God, we're pretty tight. Can I actually see you now? And God said, no, because you will die. But he said, I'll make a deal with you. Here's the deal. See this kind of cliff here? There's a little cleft in the cliff. You go in there, bury your face in there. I'm going to pass by. I'll tell you when it's safe to look. And God passes by, and then Moses sees just, it says, the back part of God's cloak. And that's as close as he can get to seeing God. Something absolutely marvelous arrived with the birth of Christ, and that is that when Jesus was born, a whole new era was introduced where God is with us. He came to be Emmanuel. John puts it this way, John 1 and verse 14. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I just like the way the Message paraphrases some stuff. I love it. I really do. The Word became flesh, that's Jesus. Jesus became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus in the hood. You gotta, right? I mean, that's what happened, isn't it? Jesus came to right where we are, right? We didn't claw our ways up to our way up to where Jesus was. Jesus came to where we were. He moved into the neighborhood, and we saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Jesus came to be God with us. And the same Jesus who came to be God with us told us, never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. And you might be here today, and where you're at right now, you find it very difficult to really just connect with God, even because of stuff you're going through. But what you are feeling does not change the fact God is with us. And God is with you today, right in the middle of the stuff you're going through. And if life's like flat, plain sailing for you right now, I'm not wishing you any ill, but I'm going to tell you, take what I'm telling you today and keep it in your back pocket, because you will need it. Because life stinks at times, right? Hey, I asked a question. Life stinks at times, right? I mean, that's the truth. That's the truth. That is the reality. But in those times, we've got to realize, you know, what God promises, what our faith tells us, and what is really fact. And that is this: whatever we might be going through, if we're tempted to think, where are you, God? God is with us. God is with us. Again, announcing Jesus coming as God with us. Luke 1:28, the angel's talking to Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. Look at this. The Lord is with you. And when we get to understand that the God of the universe, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God, God is with us. When you're lost and don't know where to turn, God's with you. When you're in the middle of a real testing time, God's with you. When you're sick, God is with you. When you feel weak, God is with you. When you've messed up royally and are lost in sin, God's still with you. God is with you. Amen. You got that first bit? Good. Turn to the person on your left. Say, God's with you. Some of you need some help here with left and right. All right. So let's. So turn to the person on your right. Okay. We don't want to miss anybody. Tell them God's with you. Okay. There was a couple of centuries ago in the UK, there was a preacher by the name of John Wesley. John Wesley was such a radical preacher that they wouldn't let him into the established churches to preach. So John Wesley had to find some other way to preach. It's kind of like Genesis and True North. That's why we worship in warehouses. Right? So Wesley would go to a town and he would find a field somewhere on the edge of town, and crowds would come and he'd preach the gospel. And he traveled thousands of miles on horseback during his life, and he preached to hundreds of thousands of people who came to faith in the Lord Jesus. When John Wesley was laying dying, his family were all around him. They were just sitting there watching, seeing if the next breath would come. But it seemed like he was trying to tell them something, but he was too weak to get the words out. And then all of a sudden, he inhaled, and they thought this was going to be the last breath, the last gasp. And he inhaled, and then quite forcefully, he said, best of all, God is with us. They thought he'd spoken his last, but he hadn't. Because he did it again. He inhaled again, but this time he held his hand in the air and he said it even louder. He said, and best of all, God is with us. And then he left this earth to go to be with Jesus. I want to tell you this: from the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior to the moment we leave this earth, God is with us and will never leave us and will never forsake us. Wherever you are at in life right now, God's with you. Where's God? God's with us. There's a second thing I want to point out to you today that the Bible tells us very clearly. God is not only with us, but God is for us. God's for us. How many of you remember Kojak? Some of you are looking very puzzled right now. Okay. It was a secret society. No, it wasn't. Right, so Kojak was a TV detective, all right? If some of you people are, some of you folks are obviously way too young to remember Kojak, and I'm sorry for you. you missed it, it's gone, but he's probably on YouTube. So Telly Savalas, who was the star of that show, Telly Savalas at one point in the early 70s, he made a record. Yeah, that just lost 90% of you, okay? Records, okay? We used to listen to music on records. It was quite quaint. So So he made a record. I can't remember if it was the A side or the B side, but one of the songs was kind of a mushy romantic song called You and Me Against the World. Sometimes it feels like you and me against the world. Don't make me sing it. All right, but that's the song. And my wife and I were just married kind of then. We got married in 1969. And we used to say that's our song. It's like, you know, here we are and we know this. We've got each other and we'll always be here with each other and for each other. And by God's grace, she's stuck with me all these years. December will be 49 years. So that's... And that's how God intends it to be. And sadly, I know it often isn't the case. But that is what God intends and what we all look for as well. Is that kind of commitment where you're not asking the question even. The thought never occurs to you. But the fact is we know they're with us, they're beside us, and they're absolutely supportive of us and for us. And you know something? That's how God is too. You never have to ask the question. God is for us. God is for us. In our biggest mess up in life, God's still for us. And where you are right now, God's for you. God's on your side. In Psalm 13 and verse 5, it says this, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." I trust in your unfailing love. Never changes. God is for us. And really one of the greatest things that helps us to trust in God's unfailing love is because we can look and say, the Lord has been good to me. And the reality is this, for so many of us, you know, we're sitting here this morning, we might look back on life and we've all got memories of times we'd never have chosen, would never have wanted to happen, and hope to God never happen again. But the fact is, we're sitting here this morning and we say this, but the Lord has been good to us. Amen? God has been good to us. We can trust his unfailing love because we've seen it over and over and over again, and God never changes. In Romans chapter 8, Paul puts it this way in verse 31. He says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" If God is for us. Now, I've heard people talk about this verse and they say, yeah, Paul was beaten and he was stoned and he was shipwrecked and he went through all kinds of things. And his reaction is, if God is for us, who can be against us? But that's not the context of that verse. He starts with the question, so what will we say to these things? What things? Well, the things that he had just said. That was profound, wasn't it? That's as profound as I get. All right. So he's saying, so what's our response to these things? So we've got to look to the verses ahead. And it was before, it was what he had just said that brought this response, if God be for us, who can be against us? Are you with me so far? Because this is the third time I've said this and I might be getting it all mixed up. But we good? Okay, so let's look at what he said before that briefly, okay? So in verse 28, he said this, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." That's one of the things. So when he's saying, what should we say to these things? This is one of the things. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God. What will we say to these things? If God's for us. So since all things work together for good, if God's for us, who can be against us? We good so far? Okay, let's look at the next two verses in Romans 8, 29, 30. "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Those he predestined, those he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." Now, there is 2 months of preaching in that verse, at least. But you want the cliff notes because lunch comes next, right? And you know what? I'm giving you the cliff notes because lunch comes next. I'm good. So here's what he's saying. What he's saying is God predestined that you'd Follow him. In other words, God chose you. That's what Ephesians 1 tells us. In fact, the Bible tells us before the earth was formed, God chose us. So the fact you're sitting here in church Sunday morning with faith in Jesus Christ is not because of a succession of chance happenings that led to you hearing the gospel. It's because before we were born, God chose us. Now, I know some people have problems with that. And you know what? If you want to argue with me after the service, don't. I'm going for lunch. Okay, you believe what you like, I'll tell you what the Bible says. Before the... Don't worry, Bert will be back next week. So, I love to kind of leave a mess for the pastor to clean up. So God chose us. And then it says, those he chose, he called. Right? God found us, right? We didn't really find him. God started the thing in motion. Are you with me there? So God chose us, God called us, and then God justified us. He cleansed us from all of our sin. And then the God who justified us, the Bible said, will also glorify us. So God, who before the earth began, decided he wanted us to be his children, the Bible says God's going to finish that and God's going to glorify us. You with me there? So God, who begun something in us, is going to complete that work that he started in us. And that's what Paul is saying here in Romans 8, 29 and 30. He's saying, you know, God chose you, God called you, God justified you, God will glorify you. And in the light of that, in verse 31, he says, so what are we going to say in response to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? And God is for us. Here's what it says in Psalm 118 and verse 6. God's now at my side, and I'm not afraid. Who would dare lay a hand on me? Isn't that terrific? Where's God? God is with us. God is for us. And then finally, God will help us. God will help us. Somebody said to me a few weeks ago, they said, you know, what's your life verse? Now, do you know, notice like a lot of Christians have their own language they speak? Because if you said to somebody, you know, at work tomorrow, what's your life verse? They'd say, excuse me? So what's your life verse? So your life verse is a Bible verse that's really been a central thing to your life and your experience. So somebody said to me, what's your life verse? And I said, can I have two? Because I've lived quite a long while. So after so many years, you get a credit, I think, and you get a second life verse, you know? And I wanted two because really I'd say I've got two life verses. There was a Bible verse that I saw for the first time when I was 13 or 14 years old. I was reading a book about a woman who had established a mission in the East End of London in the UK and for the homeless. And there was a Bible verse there. It's in Proverbs. It's in the book of Proverbs. It's chapter 19 and verse 17. You might think if it's your life verse, why are you reading it? Don't you know it? I do know it, but I learned the Bible in the King James Version. I learned this verse in the King James Version. I use a lot of other translations now, and whenever I try to quote the Bible by myself, I get it messed up. So here's what it says. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. I saw that verse, I owned that verse. What God wants us to do is to be kind to the poor. I went into a Christian bookstore not long after that. I found a big poster that actually I put on my bedroom wall. It's interesting because I shared a bedroom with my brother who was 18 months older than me. His side had great big posters with pictures of the Rolling Stones and the Beatles and other people who made good music in the 60s. And I had my whoever's good to the poor. But that became something that's guided my life and my ministry because I do believe the gospel is good news to the poor. You know, I believe it. Jesus said it, so I need to believe it. And I need to live it as well. And that's been one of the things that guided me through ministry. But then as years have gone by, there's another verse that I probably first read back there in my teens as well, but I can quote it with a little more authority now. It's in Psalm 37 and verse 25. I was young, and now I am older. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging bread. I want to tell you this. The last Sunday in July this year will mark 48 years that I've been pastoring. I pastored in a couple of different countries. I've preached in way more countries. I've had the joy of meeting tens of thousands of God's people. And I'm going to tell you this, I've never once heard a single story of how God let one of his children drop. I have been young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen their children begging for bread. I've seen people go through tough times. I've seen people go through the most awful of experiences. But I want to tell you this, I've seen God bring them through time after time after time after time. Where is God? God will help us. Where is God? God will help you. In fact, here's what it says in Psalm 46 and verse 5. It says this, God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. When God comes to help, a new day dawns. Where you're at today is not where you're going to stay. God's got a new day. What you're going through just now, it's not going to be the end of you, but there will be an end to it. And God's got a new day. God will help her. So Eva died. The whole family were devastated. I was the only Christian in our family. My mother and father got in touch with my pastor because they didn't know who else to turn to help them and to think about funeral arrangements. And my pastor came and spent some time with them that afternoon that she passed. That was a Friday. On the Sunday, my mother and father were in church. I was glad to see them there. I didn't think a lot of it. I thought it's kind of a courtesy to the pastor if he's going to do the service. And they came to church. The next Sunday, they were in church as well. And it wasn't until a few weeks or months after that I heard the story that my mother told. She said the day my sister had died, that night she was in her room and just crying and crying and said, God, you've got to help me. And she said that as she said, God, you got to help me, she felt a presence in the room. She said it was just so warm and loving and peaceful. And she said, I kept saying, God, help me. And she said, that presence I felt in the room came and filled me. And my mother would have told you that that was the day she really came to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. A few months later, my father came to know the Lord. In August of that year, they were both baptized. And over the years that have passed, a number of my family have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God didn't do it my way, it didn't mean he wasn't going to do it. God had a plan, and it was a good plan. It was a good plan. It was a great plan. Eva was freed and went to be with Jesus. But my family did come to know Christ too. Where is God? God's with us. God is for us. God will help us. And God will help you. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you do never leave us. Thank you, Lord, you've never let one of your children drop. So I pray, Lord, for everyone here, especially for those who are going through a difficult time right now. And God, I pray for them that they'll know your peace and your presence. Help them to trust you and not what they feel. And the reality that you are with us, that you are for us, and that you will help us. God, help us all to trust you more and more, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, thanks once again for taking the time to listen. It's an honor to have you with us. If you'd like to support our church financially and help us continue to put this content out there for free, that would be a really big deal to us. We're completely supported by the contributions of the people that come to our church. And if you'd like to help, you can do that online at truenorthchurch.net/give, or you can do it with a text message. Just text the word True North to 77977 on your cell phone, and you'll get a prompt leading you through how to do that. Thanks again for dialing in. See you soon. Bye-bye.